T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I was just giving you a little of the background on Ned Coletti, because he was, Al, you actually got to know Ned when he worked for the Philadelphia Journal covering the Flyers?
Yes, covering the Flyers.
And you were with the Inquirer, correct?
Yes.
And he, at that time, did you have any sense that he would end up being a major general manager type?
No, but he was really smart.
He was smart.
Yeah. Right?
But it wasn't even in bed.
Girlfriend, wife, too. Yeah.
He had one?
His wife is really pretty. Oh. She was really pretty.
Well, what did that have to do with
it? She had two colored eyes. Like, her eyes had this bizarre color in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I thought it was really
this
cool.
This is
nice
not any of the information I was seeking.
He added it.
All right. Al, what I want to know is, because most people in the media do not be GMs of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No.
And he was being courted by the Baltimore Orioles. Ooh. But I think once he got to meet the people that owned that operation, he couldn't get out of there quick enough.
I didn't know that he was.
But. All right. But anyway, we are looking. Something's going on back there. I'm not getting any information, so I'm assuming Ned is not with us quite yet. But we hope to get him on momentarily, get some information on exactly what's going on with Machado and Harper. Do we have him up here? Hold on. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
We do now. On the line with us, it's one of the great GMs. And the pride of Philadelphia hockey.
Yes.
For the short time he was here, the author of a great book called The Big Chair is Ned Coletti. Hi, Ned.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being my agent. You guys are great. Love that. Love the intro.
Well, I got to tell you, Ned, I told you I love that book. And all I said to Al yesterday, I said, I got to get somebody on who really understands the inner workings of Major League Baseball, and that's Ned Coletti. Give me your read right now on what's going on with Machado and Harper.
Well, I think when you look back just a few years even, you can go back a long time, but look back just a few and look at some of the signings that have taken place for long-term deals and ask yourself, if you were an owner, would you be satisfied? Would you do it again?
Right.
Would you sign Chris Davis again if you were in Baltimore? Right. If you were in Boston, would you sign Hanley and Pablo again? Every team's got them. I've got them. Every team has got a group that you say, whoa, would I do that again? And the answer is never. So now you got a situation where people are looking for historic contracts. Presumably, what you hear is 10 years and over, $35 million or whatever.
Right.
Who's going to do that, you know? And I think that have there been offers for these players? I have no doubt there have been probably great offers for these players. But you do have to, how many work out? I've been doing it a long time. Derek Jeter signed a 10-year deal with the Yankees at one point, I think. That one worked for both sides. Other than that, there ain't many, if any, that go 8, 9, 10 years, and you go, hey, you know what? I'm so glad we did that. Right. I think that's part of it. Plus, everybody's using the same information. Everybody's got the same analytics, by and large. There's a different tone to some of it here and there, but it's the consistency of the information, I think, also plays into that, too. And it's a younger game.
Hey, Ned, I'm really curious about the ego of the agents, because Lozado and Boris are two of the biggest. They got to beat each other in this? Is that part of it, too?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I know both these gentlemen for a very, very long time, especially Scott.
Yeah.
I think the first deal I did with Scott, Greg Maddux, might have had 3 years of service. That was, ages ago.
Right.
They're both very good at what they do. This is how they've made great livings, and this is their craft. And if you think that one, and they live not that far from each other, they're both in California, Southern California. One does X, the other one can easily say, well, my guy's got to get more than that. And then next thing you know, the player's going, wait a minute, he got more than I got? And so you've got a little bit of a stare down, too. You've got a few different things going on right here that do not imply a quick deal, which obviously there hasn't been,
right,
including that.
Hey, and Ned, did the owner of the Phillies, John Middleton, make it harder for his GM when he kind of announced he was ready to spend stupidly if he had to get one of these guys?
Yeah, he made it. He didn't make it easier, I don't think. I think, you know, there's probably been said something like that once or twice before, but, you know, it does open it up. But again, it's a little bit of a vague term too, because, you know, there's not like a golden. You know, it's not like you say, well, if it's 350, it's stupid money. If it's 349, it's brilliant. You know, I mean, what a stupid money, you know. So, right. Did a little bit, but again, I think what it did is it put a lot of expectation out there.
Right.
And the fans, I don't think the fans care how much you pay somebody until they can't play. Then they get agitated with you.
Oh, so true. You know City, Ned.
Yeah, they just want you to sign the guy. They don't care what you're paying for him until the guy hits 220, and then it's like, right. What? You know, this guy's an idiot. You know?
Exactly. That's why we prefer being on the media end of this, Ned.
Hey, so do I now. It is so much easier.
Hey, Ned, what did you think of Matt Klentak's deal for JT Realmuto?
I thought it was a good one. I thought, you know what, when you have quality that you're going to go after and get, you've got to take that shot. And obviously, maybe the arguably top two or three catcher in the game. I'm not sure I'm ready to put him number one, even though some analytics say that he's right there. But, you know, your top two or three,
right?
You can't win without a closer. You can't win without a catcher. There's a few positions you better have if you have any designs on winning. You got them for more than 1 year. I think it was a great deal, and he had a lot of competition for it too. Well, know, I think he did well with it.
Hey, now we got a little issue that's come up with Klentak. I don't think he speaks Philadelphia lingo because he's, you know, from Dartmouth. So yesterday, even though he hasn't signed either of these two guys, and the owner kind of told us we were getting one of them, he comes out and proclaims a great offseason. Here's a tiny little bit of what he said.
We've had an objectively excellent offseason, in my opinion.
All right, he took a victory lap, Ned, but we haven't had any conclusion yet to these. Is that a smart tactic by the GM?
All I heard was the one line. So, but you know, if that was all, then yeah, that's a little tough sometimes. You know, it's a very humbling game, as I found out, and everybody else knows too. You know,
right.
I don't know. I think they are better. I think they're much better. And if they can add one more of these two players, then I think they're going to be even that much better.
Right.
You know, you say things too in the spring that you're trying to get people excited and you're trying to get everybody kind of revved up about getting ready for a season after you've had a couple tough ones. So, I don't know how much you put into that. Better than I'm saying, I don't think we're that good. I don't think we're going to win anything.
Yeah,
Ned,
we heard that before.
Ned, we have, actually, Pat Gillick said that a couple of times. Ned, here's the thing. But you worked here, you Chicago, L.A. Are we more demanding than what you dealt with out there on the West Coast?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I think, and that's not bad. I think... in fact, I used to tell, you know, Joe Torre and I talked about it, Tom Manning and I talked about it, my two guys that were both in New York as players, both in New York as one as a manager, one as a coach. And I said, you know, when you're in New York and you're in Philly and you're in Boston, and we talked about this probably five times a year, every year, we were together probably 7 years, the three of us, that the heat from outside, the heat comes from outside in those cities.
Right.
You can't – and when you're sitting in that clubhouse, the heat is coming from the outside. Shows like this, fan base, people are riveted on how the team is doing. Phillies, Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, a little bit of Chicago. Then you get to L.A., and the fire has got to come from – and not just – it's got to come more from inside the room than outside the room. Uh-huh. You're going to get some from outside the room. But you're not going to get as much as you're going to get from inside. So we had to build teams that had the perspective that, you know, we had to fight and battle through. Even though you go outside, it's 80 degrees, the humidity's 20%, there's not a cloud in the sky, and this is like the 200th straight day of this, you know. And so it is a different dynamic. I don't know, you know, it's when teams, and this is a generalization, when teams go bad in L.A., when teams struggle in L.A., people find something else to do.
See?
I think when teams go bad in the East Coast, and I haven't lived in the East Coast for a long time, but I think it's the same. Teams go bad in one of those three Eastern cities or franchises or whatever. I think people pay money to go out and tell them how bad they are. You know? I think they say, hey, you know what, we're going to go out there. We're going to let them know that we can't stand watching this. Right? That happens here. You know, that happened maybe once or twice here, but just generally speaking, you know, people there, they're in it, man. They're in it.
And then I'm real curious because the Phillies last year only had 63% of their seats filled. When you're looking at, you know, a big plunge into the free agent market, as a GM, do you look at it strictly from a personnel point of view, or do you worry, too, about the business end of it and how much a bump you're going to get by adding a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
Oh, I think those conversations must take place.
Okay.
Especially when you're talking about upper echelon players like Bryce and Manny. You know, it's they do go hand in hand. That said, I would never bring a player in that I didn't think could help us win. I wouldn't bring somebody in just as a, you know, as somebody, well, he's going to draw a lot of people. Yeah, but he can't play anymore. You know, that, I wouldn't do that. But it is a combination. It helps sell it because you go from one meeting where you say, we really need an impact player. We really need player X, Y, right here. That's what we need. And then the business side gets involved and I go, well, you know what? That player may help us with this. He may help bring this. He may help up our revenue for our sponsorships, and maybe our TV deal has different levers in it that, depending on what the viewership is, it's got a little more value to it. You know, I think, and I could be wrong, it's been a long time now, I think when the Phillies got Pete Rose years ago, it helped promote the radio deal.
Wow, yeah. That's way back in the late
70s, like 78, 79, somewhere in there.
Right, absolutely.
So it does, but then you have Pete Rose could play, too. So you've got to have the talent and the chance to win, and I think people do kind of get to the point they say, you know what, we should do this because it not just makes baseball sense, it also makes financial sense.
You alluded to analytics a minute ago, Ned, and I'm curious if you think they use it too much now to evaluate players.
I do. I think it's. I would guess that they do. I'm not sitting in any rooms anymore going through a judgment, a decision-making process where you're basing your choice upon different pieces of information, whether it's a scout's view or a piece of paper that's got some numbers on it and a trend. And I think the balance is huge. I think you have to have both. I think you can't do anything without analytics because they can tell you a story you can't get if you're not paying attention. Right. At the same time, I would never hire anybody without talking to them. I wouldn't hire anybody just on a resume. Any big company in Philadelphia, I'd hire that's renowned as the greatest company in Philadelphia. They just get resumes and they email and they say, hey, call this person, bring them in. We're going to start them on Friday. No, you got to talk to people. Right. You got to know who they are. Hmm. You got to know how they think, how they sacrifice, strengths, weaknesses. How are they going to be under pressure? How are they going to be in different dynamics? The resume is the analytics. It gets you interested. It tells you kind of what you can expect to some point. But who you are, for me, when you're in the top of the ninth inning trying to win a World Series or you're trying to win a division, I ain't looking at a piece of paper. I'm looking at two human beings trying to one guy's trying to get the other guy out.
So, Ed, now you're teaching now at Pepperdine?
Yes, I'm a junior now, Al. I'm a junior at Pepperdine. It's my fifth semester. I teach a class on sports leadership, negotiation, salary arbitration, culture building, team building.
How can you teach anything? I have seen pictures at Pepperdine.
Yeah. It's Hollywood, Al. It's really the biggest thing in a vacant lot, you know.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, Ned, are you worried about the future of baseball?
Yeah, I keep my eye on it a little bit because I see so many different things. I do teach and I talk to students all the time that one day we'll be leading families, and you know they're getting away from it. And there's many other things to do, many other choices to spend your money. I think when you have a game where for the first time you had more strikeouts than hits in the history of the sport, and you got usually a strikeout, a walk, a home run. You know, I think that it's got to change some. And I think time of game is a major issue. I don't call it time of game. That's the issue for me. I think it's the pace of the game. If you go to a great movie, sometimes you hope it never ends. You know, if you go to a great game, you're not saying, wow, we've already been here 3 hours. No. But if you see guys walking around, a bunch of pitching changes, guys stepping out of the box, all that stuff, you start to look at your watch and go, man, we got to get rolling. And so I do think that and they've taken some steps with pace of game. With the things that came out the last 10 days would also increase the pace of the game, which I think is smart. You have to recalibrate, I think, in anything you do, especially in this business world today, all the time. And I think baseball needs a bit of a recalibration. I still think it's the best. It's that in the National Hockey League. I can't watch enough of either. But you always got to keep your eye on it. And I think sometimes a little recalibration, healthy for everybody.
Ned, last thing, and this may seem stupid after we just mentioned Pepperdine. Do you miss being a GM in the big leagues?
I miss the competition. I miss the daily, the anxiety of waiting for that game to start and team building. And I miss having that smile. I'm not talking about the team building on the field, but also the team building in your front office. I miss that desperately in the competition. I don't miss the calls in the middle of the night that some guy's in jail, that this guy doesn't want to play, that this guy's that, and the different things that you go through. I candidly ask myself, I probably flew over Utah 500 times in the middle of the night. How many more times could I fly over Utah in the middle of the night? LAX. I know LAX better than I knew my living room. I knew SFO when I was little better than I knew my living room. It's like, all right, how many games? I've been to 9,000. It's no lie. Probably 9,000 major league games. Right. How many more I need to really go to,
Well, all I can tell you is you got to read the book, The Big Chair. This will get you ready for another season. It's one of the best baseball books I've ever read. It's fantastic. Ned, we're honored when you come on. Thank you so much for doing this.
I'd only do this for you guys at 6 in the morning, you and the students, because I'm off to Pepperdine. And, Al, those pictures you see of Pepperdine, they are real, brother.
Are they real? You are living in heaven, my friend. You are living in heaven.
Ned doesn't miss being a GM. Thank you, Ned.
Always great to be with you guys.
Take care.
Love you, man. Talk to you guys soon.
Ned Coletti.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.